New beginnings. The number 8 in the Bible means a new beginning. So I pray that we'll have new beginnings this year and see the great glory of God. And I've been teaching since the first of the year on repentance. And repentance is very simply changing your mind about the direction you're going and determined to follow the Lord and turn yourself around and start following Jesus Christ. And that's important. And then I talked about forgiveness. And I've talked about we're forgiven by the Lord. And the example in the Bible really is the Old Testament example where a person that needed the forgiveness of God would bring an animal to the temple. And they'd come before the priest with that animal and put their hands on the animal. And they would confess their sins. And the idea was that their sins that they confessed would go into that animal. The animal then died, and that was a picture of their sins being totally taken away, and they were forgiven. They could walk out of that tabernacle forgiven totally by God. Well, we have the same thing today. Only Jesus Christ took our place and paid the price for our sins. And he did it once forever. And so when we confess our sins were then paid for by Jesus Christ. We are forgiven those sins. But the issue is, more than even forgiving them and taking them away, we are forgiven. I think some people just think, well, God forgave my sin, but he didn't forgive me. Well, the whole issue of the Bible is that he forgives us. And we must keep that in mind. He takes our sins away. In a sense, God doesn't really forgive sins. He just takes them away. He buries them. He takes them away as far as the east is from the west. But what he does is forgive us. And so we can walk in this life forgiven. And then the example of what you do with, what do you do when you sin after you become a Christian? Well, the picture of that in the Bible is when Jesus Christ took off his garment, his robe, and put a towel around him, and he took a basin of water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And he went right down the road, just washing their feet. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on his knees, washing the feet of the disciples. And Peter, of course, who always had something to say, said, Lord, what are you doing? He said, I should be washing your feet instead of you washing mine. But the Lord said, this is necessary, because he said, basically, when you're out walking through this life, you pick up sin. We sin, whether on purpose or by accident or ignorant of something. And he said, those things are washed when you confess them to me, and I just keep washing you. Well, Peter said, well, why don't we just take a whole bath? And basically what he said to that was, that's not necessary, because once you become a Christian, you have been bathed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and totally forgiven. But just as you walk through life, to keep in fellowship with God, you have to have that constant washing of our hands and feet. And that is by confession of sin and forsaking it. And then we can walk through this life not only being forgiven totally on the cross, but feeling forgiven and knowing we're forgiven as we confess anytime that we sin against God. And so the point is that God says you can walk forgiven in this life. And once you're forgiven in the cross of Jesus, obviously when we die, which we all will, then we will be in heaven, because Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and by taking our place, he paid the price for all of our sins and our rejection of Christ and all of that before we were saved. And so we can have the assurance that we're going to go to heaven, but we want the assurance also, and that's what I'm going to talk about now, that we have an open communication with God. Because we can do things in this life, it doesn't affect our salvation, but it affects our communication with God. If I was mad at somebody, or they were mad at me, we probably wouldn't communicate. If we did, it probably wouldn't be pleasant. It wouldn't be a good thing. So my anger or their anger or my unforgiveness or their unforgiveness would hinder our relationship on a daily basis. And that's what I want to talk about today, because the Bible says very simply that because Jesus Christ has forgiven us, we are to forgive others in the same way. Not just forgive them, but forgive them in the same way that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, and I'll get into some of them. But the point is, what we do a lot of times, and I'll just kind of summarize before I get started, what we do a lot of times, we try to forgive what somebody did to us, but we don't forgive the person. And that's not forgiving like Jesus did. Jesus forgives us. He forgives us and takes away our sin. In a sense, that's what we have to do with other people. Now you say, is this a big problem? Yes, it is. It's a big problem with people. Maybe not being right with the Lord, but being right with other people. And there was a lady who I knew, she used to be a member of this church, who was dying. And I went to visit her one day, and she said, I have something on my heart I need to deal with. And I said, what's that? She said, I haven't spoken to my sister-in-law for 20 years. Now, both of these people were Christians. She said, I haven't spoken to my sister-in-law for 20 years. Now, I'm sure if I had a raise of hands, nobody here would have that kind of situation. But anyway, that's what she told me. She says, I don't want to die. She knew she was going to die. And she said, I don't want to die without getting this right with my sister-in-law. And I said, well, that's no problem. Where is she? We'll get hold of her and we'll get this settled. She says, I don't have a clue where she's at. I don't know anybody knows where she's at. I don't know where she's at. What can we do? I said, well, let's pray. So I prayed that the Lord would somehow find this sister-in-law and they would get together before this lady died. 1 week later, the sister-in-law walked in the door of that house. 1 week later. And they got it all straightened out. Probably just a minor thing. They got it straightened out. And then afterwards, I talked to the lady that was dying. She said, now I'm ready to go to be with the Lord. Then the issue is, though, that whether we're dying or whether we're living, we should be dealing with these things as fast as we possibly can, because they will hinder our everyday hearing from God. I didn't say keep you from heaven. I said would hinder your everyday communication with the Lord. And so I want to address that issue. And we're also going to talk about people that are in abusive situations and what should they do, because that question always comes up. So we're going to talk about that also. But look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, I really believe that this is going to help somebody today, if they will let the Lord speak to them through this message. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. Because I'm constantly finding people that they just don't talk to somebody else, they don't speak to somebody else because of some issue that happened in their life. Let's look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, that says it's a commandment of God not to have bad feelings towards somebody else, not to have unforgiveness towards somebody else. I don't care who it is or what they did. We're not to have unforgiveness toward somebody else. Now, the issue is, instead of trying to forgive what they did, make an effort through Christ to forgive them personally. Forgive them is what, and so forth. Now, so it says very simply here that we are to forgive others the same way Jesus Christ forgave us. We should be able to do that. So we're going to look at a few scriptures very quickly. We'll look at Matthew 6 and verse 14. Matthew 6 and verse 14. And you need to write these scriptures down because you're going to need to know these for yourself. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to go to heaven. What that means is you're going to be messed up in your relationship with God. You're probably not going to accomplish what He's called you to do if you have unforgiveness towards somebody else. Now, the issue, the Bible says that everybody's called of God in some way or another. We always think of called to God to preach the word. That's not necessarily it. God calls everybody to something in this life. It might be a godly housewife. It might be a godly mother. It might be something else. But the issue, this very simply indicates that we will be hindered in our relationship to God if we do not forgive other people who have offended us in some way. Look at Matthew 18 and verse 23. Matthew 18 and verse 23. Now, somebody take that verse we just read and they say, well, I'm not going to go to heaven if I have unforgiveness. Well, that's kind of an Old Testament thing, not a New Testament thing. If that was true, nobody would probably go to heaven. But the issue is that, Matthew 18 and verse 23. Now, this says, therefore in the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king who would take account of his servants. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him who owed him 10,000 talents, we'll say $1,000,000. But forasmuch he had nothing to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. In other words, in those days, if you owed a debt and you couldn't pay it, then whoever you owed it to could put you into slavery, sell you into slavery, or make you a slave of that person until the debt was paid. That's the way they did things. Verse 26, the servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay it all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, that's actually the Lord here is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law demands that we pay for everything we've done. But Jesus, by his grace, forgives us. That's what this is basically talking about. Jesus, by his grace, forgave him. Now, I'm going to show you what happens when we do not forgive somebody else. We go right on with this story, and you'll see. But the same servant who had been forgiven went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, we'll say $100. He laid hands upon him and took him by the throat and said, pay me what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, I'll pay it all, just like he did before the Lord. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Now, the same servant who had been forgiven of the Lord $1 million wouldn't forgive this guy $100. Now you say, well, that's ridiculous. We get angry with people at some of the stupidest things. I was watching a movie the other night where two people wanted to get a divorce over a chair. I mean, people can do the dumbest things. And if you compare $100 to $1 million, it's nothing, practically. But this guy wouldn't forgive him the $100, and he threw him in jail because of it. And so, let's go on and see what happened. When his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called unto him, he said, O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all of your debt because you asked me to. Should not you also have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was angry and delivered him unto the inquisitors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall your heavenly Father do also to you from your heart, if you do not forgive from your heart every one of his brothers his trespasses. Now, what happened here was the guy that would not forgive, he'd been forgiven by the Lord, he wouldn't forgive his fellow brother there, and so he was put in prison. Now, I'm going to tell you what the prison is. It's the same prison that you and I get into if we don't forgive somebody else. And that very simply is this: we open the door to the enemy. We allow Satan to come into our lives and wreak havoc. And you wonder sometimes why some people that you know are Christian have such problems. Now, I'm not saying all of it's this way, but some of it is. It's very simply because they didn't forgive somebody else when they'd been forgiven of the Lord. And so the enemy has the right to come in and blind us to the truth, to deceive us, and cause all kinds of havoc in our life. That's what he's talking about. The inquisitors here are the devil and his demons. And so the issue is, when you don't forgive, you allow, give ground in your life to Satan, is really what this says. I'm talking about believers. Jesus was talking about believers. We're talking about believers here. And so, is it important that we get our life right with other people? Absolutely. It is important. Now I'm going to get into more detail on this. Go to Hebrews 9 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. All right, here's what it says. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There isn't a question that Jesus Christ is going to come. If you're a believer, if you know him, he's going to come for you. You're going to be with him. But there is a problem when we do not forgive our fellow human beings whatever they did. Now look in Luke 6:38 quickly. And I'm going to move on here, but I want to just cover some scripture. And you study these on your own. Don't believe what I tell you. Just study these things on your own. Luke 6, 38. Now, here's what it says. Now, this could be about money. This could be about forgiveness. This could be about a lot of things. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you measure shall be measured to you again. Now everybody uses that for money, but I'm also going to use that today for forgiveness. If you forgive somebody else, you're going to get a blessing. You're going to be blessed by giving forgiveness to somebody else. Now somebody has said that unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping the other person will get sick. I'm going to give it to you again. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping that somebody else is going to get sick. Now, if we don't forgive somebody, really what we're hoping is they get lightning zaps them or some such thing. We hope, man, they're going to go through all kinds of hell because we don't forgive them. That's what we think. That's the way we think about things. But unfortunately, many people are dying, they're sick, and they're hurting because they won't forgive somebody else. It could be in their family, could be someplace else. Now, in forgiving somebody, you're not denying that there was a sin or a problem or something done against you. You don't deny that fact. Jesus never denied the fact that we sinned. He just paid for them and took them away. So it's not denying that they did something wrong or whoever did something wrong. If we did something wrong, we're to go to that person and make it right. But if somebody else did something to us, we are to forgive them whether they're interested or not. We often think we're hurting other people by not forgiving them. But it's not God's nature. God did not withhold forgiveness from us, regardless of what it was. Jesus never came to you and said, you did this, you did that, you did something else, whatever. He came to you and offered himself, he offered forgiveness. That's what he came for, to offer us forgiveness. And so if there's anybody in your past or present that would ruin your day, if they came in here and sat down next to you right now, there's a problem. Let me give you that again. I believe in practical Christianity. If these things don't work, then there's something wrong. If there's anybody in your life that came in and would sit down next to you right now and you'd be uncomfortable and mess your day up, then there's some praying that needs to be done. Do I hear an amen? Amen. That was kind of weak. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
All right. I didn't come in here today just to hear this kind of stuff. I wanted to hear about Jesus. Well, this is about Jesus. God wants us set free. He wants us to be free. He wants us to be totally free. Go out that door totally free and not be in any bondage of any kind. That's what the Lord wants. That's his desire. That's why he came, to save us and to heal us and to deal with these kind of problems. Now, nobody deserves forgiveness. It isn't a matter of deserving it. It's a matter of giving it by grace. Has nothing to do with deserving it. And so we have to keep that in mind because Jesus offered forgiveness by grace. He didn't do it by works because he could have never done it by works because we did all that stuff. And he just come by grace and said, I offer you forgiveness through my blood and I'll pay for everything that you've done. And that's what he did. Nobody deserves forgiveness. It isn't a matter of deserving. We have been asked to give forgiveness to a world that doesn't deserve it. We've been asked to forgive forgiveness to people that may not deserve it. It's not the issue. Actually, when you forgive somebody, you get more blessings than the one you forgave. Yes, ma'am.
I would just like to share that forgiveness is contagious.
Okay.
If you're around a very forgiving person, you yourself will find it so much easier to forgive.
Yes.
The word says that with an angry man, never go because you'll learn his ways. It's also true about a forgiving man. You're around a forgiving person, you will forgive. In my second grade classroom, my helper always has to write down the names of kids who are naughty if I have to leave the classroom. And Friday I had to leave the classroom, and this little boy, he brought me this list with one little name, and then he had crossed it out and he said,
Okay. Now, sometimes the problem is somebody keeps doing something over and over again. Now, I understand that. And they don't ask for forgiveness. They don't ask for anything. They just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. So we have an idea that we forgive them, giving them a ticket, just do it over and over anytime they wanted to. We just keep forgiving, they keep doing it over and again. Forgiveness is never based on a person deserving it. I thank the Lord every day he didn't give me what I deserved. Because I didn't deserve 1 ounce of what he did for me. It wasn't a matter of deserving it. He chose to do it. I chose to receive it, but he chose to do it. Now, if we don't forgive them, you ever been around somebody just seemed like they had a hard heart? You ever been around somebody just seemed like they just didn't respond to anything? They didn't show any emotions. They were just had a hard heart. And you know where that comes from? Unforgiveness. When you don't forgive people, then Satan has the right to come in and harden your heart and darken your life. And that's true. Now, okay, so this sin, their sin's going to be placed on the cross of Jesus. It's not our place to forgive necessarily their sin. It's our place to forgive them. That's the issue. If you just keep trying to forgive their sins all the time, then not forgive them, it's never going to solve the problem. So that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't list a whole bunch of things everybody did wrong. He just said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. Now, I want you to look in Matthew 5:46. Very interesting scripture. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 46, if we don't forgive people their sins, then we're not going to have a relationship with people. It's just that simple. Matthew 5:46. Now, Matthew 5:46 says this. If you love them who love you, what reward do you? Do not even the tax collectors the same? Now, tax collectors weren't too well thought of back in those days because this is what they did. If somebody owed them a debt, they would sit at the city wall. They would sit at the gate of the city. And when somebody would come in there that owed them a debt, they wouldn't let them come into the city. They wouldn't let them buy or sell. They wouldn't let them do anything that they needed to do for their life. Jesus said, we're not to be like the tax collectors. Just because somebody did something wrong, we're not to have unforgiveness toward them. We are to forgive them. We're not to be like the tax collectors. We're to be different than they were. And they would throw people in prison for just some little thing. And all those kind of things. And many times when we hold something against somebody, it's a little thing, particularly in the eyes of God. But we don't have to stay there. Once you look in Matthew 18 and verse 21. Now, Matthew 18 and verse 21. I'm going to show you very simply what the Bible says about this issue and how we can deal with it. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? The Lord said unto him, I say unto you until 7 times, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of God likened to a certain king, and it goes on, and it's just what I just read. Now, the issue is here that we are to forgive the person. It's not a good thing to forgive. Now, here's an issue that I think is important. The Lord forgives time after time. If the Lord didn't forgive us every time we sin, we'd be dead. If the Lord didn't forgive us every time we sin, we'd be dead. How many times have you sinned the same sin over and over and over and over and over and over and over? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord forgives us time after time after time. Now, when you forgive somebody, it doesn't release them from their responsibility to God. It doesn't release them from confessing that to the Lord. It doesn't even release them from the consequences of their sin. But what it does, it releases them so that you can pray for them to God to work in their life and do whatever needs to be done. Now, it also opens up a relationship with the Lord for you. You forgive them, they're still responsible to God for what they did. That's not your business. But if you forgive them, your channel is opened up to God on a daily basis so that God can work in your life. Now, quickly, what if somebody's in an abusive situation, they're constantly abused, they want to forgive the person, but it just keeps on happening? What do? You get out of that situation. I've heard people just stay in an abusive situation, and sometimes you read their obituary after a period of time. There is nothing in the Bible that says that you have to stay in an abusive situation any length of time where your life is at stake. You need to get to a safe place and then begin the process of forgiveness. You get to a safe place, you separate yourself from the person, and then you begin the process of healing and forgiveness. Now, there are not any excuses not to forgive somebody else. If you're in an abusive situation, you're in a bad situation, get out of it. And then forgive the person. You're not forgiving their sin, you're forgiving them. They're responsible for their sin to the Lord. Keep that in mind. So, you can pray something like this. Father, I choose to forgive and name the person for what they did. What they did to me was sin. We're not claiming it wasn't, or it didn't hurt you, or any of those things. We're just being honest. Now, Father, take this sin from them and put it on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and separate it from that person. And on the day of judgment, when I stand before your throne, I will have no accusation against them. Even now they are free in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to bless them. Now that's another issue. We're not only to forgive people, we should ask the Lord to bless them. Are you beginning to see what it's like to be like Jesus? Now it's possible to do this. When you pray, it's possible to do this. We always risk getting a hard heart, isolating ourselves from people, and missing opportunities that God has for us by not forgiving somebody else. And once again, I said, if you're in an abusive situation, get out of it. And then begin the process of healing and forgiveness. You can't forgive somebody that's hitting you with a ball bat. You understand what I'm saying? God's not asking you to. You get out of the situation, get a safe place. You say, well, what if you haven't got any place to go? Well, there's all kinds of hotlines and abuse lines that you can call, and they will take you to a safe place, and you can then begin the healing process. There is a way. Obviously, for Christians, we pray. We ask the church for help. We do whatever. And the problem is that sometimes with the first prayer, it doesn't happen. You have to sometimes pray time after time after time after time. I'm teaching this because 2008 is a year of new beginnings. Many of us need new beginnings. You cannot start a new beginning if you're hanging on for something that somebody did to you in the past. You can't carry 100 pounds with you all the time into a new life. You have to deal with that thing and get rid of it. It doesn't make any difference what somebody else did. Forgive them and ask to God to bless them, and they're responsible for what they did. Now, probably every single one of us, if I ask you today, and I'm not, but if I ask you today, is there anybody in your life or has been in your life that would come in and sit next to you in this place today and it would mess your day up? How many would raise their hand? There probably is somebody. Okay, that's quite a few. So, I want you to have a new life. I want you to have a new beginning. I want you to have a new start. And I want you to learn to pray something like I just mentioned. I'll repeat it. Father, I choose to forgive whoever that is. You didn't say you chose to forgive their sins. You said you chose to forgive the person. They're responsible for their sin. Father, I choose to forgive the name of the person for what they did. What they did to me was sin. Father, take this sin from them and put it on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and separate it from the person. And on the day of judgment, when I stand before the Lord, I will not accuse them of anything because I've totally forgiven them. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless them in the name of Jesus. Now, I know when I preached this message, names started going through people's head. I know that. And so what you do, you need to start praying these things. Start it in prayer. Before you do anything, start it in prayer. Then if the Lord leads you to deal with, to meet with the person or call the person or talk to the person, that's fine. But it has to start between you and the Lord. Lord, I choose to forgive this person. What they did to me was wrong, but I choose to forgive them unconditionally. And Lord, I ask you to take their sin and put it on the cross of Calvary. And when I stand before you, I will not accuse them. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless them in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you how to heal your heart, how to get rid of bondage in your life, how to get darkness out of your life. And this is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle of forgiveness. We need to walk in forgiveness in our life, constantly walking in forgiveness. Now, once you do that, then you can walk in agreement with the Lord on a daily basis. Once you do that. Let's just stand before the Lord.